You can be seated. This is an exciting night because a Happening Now service is always exciting. If you don't know what you've stumbled into this evening, a Happening Now is something. Please listen. It's very important you know this. A Happening Now was birthed out of a couple of years ago when in the news, people were saying, oh my goodness, look what's going on. The world's going to end this weekend, or the world's going to end on June 22nd or January 15th. It's all going to come to an end, and Jesus is coming back on a certain day. And I saw that, and I said, this is doing so much damage that what we need to do is take time to do a Happening Now and inform people what is the real biblical approach to the things that we see in the world, and bring lower down, I guess, the volume of rhetoric and confusion and hype. Because so many people say the dumbest things, and then they say, God told me to say that. And then God gets all the blame. And then people say, why should I be a Christian with crazy people like that running around? So we need to, listen, we want to be absolutely biblically based. When we speculate, we need to say so. But when we look at the items of the news in our day, we need to be, as believers, seeing everything through a biblical lens and not through emotional hype. So tonight we're going to be covering as many topics as we can in 90 minutes. And so I don't know how to introduce this guy. He's been a friend what feels like forever. It's been about 22 years. And when I say a friend for 22 years, I'm not talking about acquaintance. I'm talking about a very, very close personal friend. Amir Sarfati is a major in the Israeli Defense Forces. His children serve in the IDF. God is using him all around the world. He's the founder and president of Behold Israel. You can follow beholdisrael.org. I encourage you to get their app. It's the best biblically news-based source of news that you can get, in my opinion. So you need to do that. There should be thousands and thousands of people that sign up tonight if you don't have it. But stay informed. Amir is all over YouTube and the internet with teachings. And God, literally, his pulpit is the world. And I mean that. He speaks on every continent and just many dozens and dozens of cities internationally every year. And so we're going to talk to each other. We're going to share news as though you were not here. That's how Happening Now is, like a coffee table talk. So we're glad that you're here. But please give a warm welcome to my good friend, Major Amir Sarfati. Exactly.
Real church.
Yep. Thank you. Okay, when was the last time you stood in front of a crowd?
6 months ago, probably. I can't believe I'm seeing a church with people. That's crazy.
Amazing.
Honestly, look, I travel around the world, so I can tell you, I believe this is the largest church gathering in the world right now.
Yeah. I absolutely.
For sure in America, but I can tell you, I don't know if there's anything like this anywhere around the world at the moment because of this COVID nonsense.
Well, we know it's not happening in Canada. We know for a fact it's not happening in England.
And not in Australia.
It's not Australia.
Not in Europe.
Not in South Africa. It's not happening.
Not in Saudi Arabia. Hello.
Yes.
I'm just joking.
Nor.
But I'm just saying, really, I don't think there's any place on planet Earth at this given moment where that many people gather in one building to worship.
Yep, exactly. You guys, listen, tonight, when we're done tonight, Amir will physically be jamming out, heading for Dallas, Texas. But before you leave the building tonight, in the foyer, Amir's two excellent books, and no doubt there's more to come, but his first book, The Last Hour, an Israeli insider looks at the end times, and the foreword is written by Dr. David Jeremiah. And then his recent book, The Day Approaching, which is our featured book of the month, get your hands on it, an Israeli's message of warning and hope for the last days. Excellent work, both of them published by, well, one by Harvest House.
One is Chosen.
And Chosen Publishers. And Ann Graham Lotz, my goodness, as I said, Dr. David Jeremiah, and so many others. He's doing a really, really great work. But listen, tonight we left all of our papers in the back room. I should have brought them out.
I remember.
But do you remember? That's because you're young. So listen, we're going to cover some of the topics and the big ones. And here they are. Let's just get started. Talk around the world is the peace process, the peace treaties that are going on regarding Trump, his administration, and other nations, regarding the nation of Israel. Listen, a lot of Christians, Amir, a lot of Christians are confused. There's a lot of people who say they're Christians, and I don't know what their agenda is about this kind of stuff. And then there's some that are in the know. Let's kind of bring it together. What is going on in the world? What's happening? And you bringing it from an Israeli perspective and a biblical perspective. Tell us about this peace plan and talk.
Yeah. Well, first of all, what made President Trump do this that other previous presidents of America couldn't for over, I don't know, 70 years? It's very, very interesting. It all goes back. Actually, it's interesting. The peace deal that was signed 2 days ago is thanks to Barack Obama. And let me explain why. No. Watch this. Barack Hussein Obama stabbed Saudi Arabia and the Gulf states in their back when he ran to sign a deal with Iran.
Yes.
That was the day those states woke up to understand that their best friend in the region is actually Israel. The only country that will go and fight Iran on Iranian soil or in Syria or in Iraq or in Lebanon is Israel. And the Arab states over there, you have to understand, Iran wants to destroy Saudi Arabia.
That's right.
More than Iran wants to destroy Israel, Iran wants to destroy Saudi Arabia. They want to control the holiest site in the world for Islam, which is Mecca and Medina, of course. And that is exactly why Saudi Arabia and the Gulf states realized then that Israel is actually the friendliest country around. But they had a problem with the United States at the time, because obviously the Saudis are not going to run to Israel. They need someone to broker a peace deal. And when 2016 came and President Trump was elected, the first destination in his international traveling was not Israel. What was it? Saudi Arabia. They asked him, come first to Saudi Arabia, because when you go to Israel right after, we want you to get a message to them. Mm-hmm. And that is exactly what he did. And not only that, you see, the Arabs can see that America is diluting its forces in Iraq and other places. They understand that Turkey is now an aggressive element in the Middle East as well. They understand that they need to be on the side of Israel right now and not on the other side. And that what basically caused that breakthrough. And this is why I said thanks to Barack Hussein Obama.
Amir, real quick, because there may be people here that they don't understand. Who cares? From a biblical perspective, who cares? But what does the Bible say regarding the last days? The area of Persia and Sheba and Dedan.
Yeah. Well, first of all, America is not mentioned in the Bible, but Israel does. Israel is mentioned there, and the Middle East is mentioned there, and Ezekiel 38 is describing a situation where Israel is safe, secure, and prosperous when that invasion is taking place. And when you read that prophecy, you see that Sheba and Dedan are on the side that is criticizing, that is protesting the invasion that is coming against Israel. Now, that could have not been possible until now because they were not having anything to do with us. In fact, for the most part, Saudi Arabia and the Emirates and the Bahrainis, and still the Qataris, they are funding anti-Israeli activity of the Palestinians. And so these things, of course, are stopping right now. But my point is, they were not on our side until a few days ago. What happened in Washington, D.C. 2 days ago is a major shift in the Middle East one of a kind, never happened in the history of planet Earth. You have to understand that we are looking for it. We're praying for peace. We're hoping for peace for the last 70-something years. But we were always told, until you give the Palestinians whatever they want, you will not have peace with any Arab state around. And what happened 2 days ago is that whole concept of Palestinians first and then the rest collapsed. And now the Palestinians are lamenting right now. That's why they were firing rockets at southern Israel at the time of the signing of that deal. I mean, that's all they know. I mean, that's all they can. And it's very sad because they should enjoy the fruit of this peace deal, but they don't look at it this way. And the verses that came to my mind were Psalm 120, verses 5. I don't know if you can put verses on the screen. Psalm 120, verses 5 to 7, really puts together the situation that on one hand you have a peace deal signed, and on the other side you see rockets flying all the way towards Israel. So can you read that?
Yep. Yeah. 4 and 5?
Yeah. No, 5 to 7.
Woe is me that I dwell in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. My soul has dwelt too long with one who hates peace. I am for peace. Oh, Abraham Lincoln put this on the... I mean, he didn't put it on the Lincoln Memorial, but it's there. I am
there.
For peace. But when I speak, you are for war.
Exactly. Here we are signing peace, and they're shooting rockets. And that's what we have there. Now, President Trump, and this is something a lot of people don't know. President Trump loves Israel more than many Israelis do.
That's true.
I can tell you there's some leftist, progressive liberals in Israel that are crazy. And until you give the Palestinians the old city of Jerusalem and the Temple Mount and the Western Wall, they will not be quiet. President Trump put an end to it. And in his peace proposal to the Palestinians, he said, not a square inch from Jerusalem's old city will be given to the Palestinians.
Now, there's... unfortunately, and this is why we do Happening Now, is when a Christian hears the word peace, a lot of Christians lose their mind because they immediately think, that's bad. Listen, there is a day coming when one will arise out of the ancient Roman Empire. It will be revived. The ancient Roman Empire, we know this from the book of Daniel and from other passages of Scripture, where Israel will be in a state of non-peace. And one will arise, and this one will be fantastic. Daniel says that he is an expert at intrigue, and he will deceive the world, beginning with Israel, with offers of peace and prosperity. He's known as the Antichrist in the Bible, or the idol shepherd, or the son of perdition. And he is the anti, not against Christ, of course he is, but anti, the word also meaning instead of Christ. He's the replacement Christ.
Opposite.
Yeah. Stands in opposition, but presents himself as the one. In the place of. And the Bible tells us clearly in 2 Thessalonians, for example, chapter 2, that the church will be removed from the earth when that one is revealed. In fact, the triggering mechanism where he can make himself available to the world is when the Holy Spirit steps aside. It's very, very important. So some people are saying today, Amir, oh my goodness, peace, a plan, Trump must be the Antichrist.
Look, listen.
Number one, if that's true, we're in the tribulation now.
Exactly.
So your theology went out the window.
Yeah.
And on top of it, as far as I know, Trump has not come from the ancient Roman Empire revived.
Yes. Listen, I don't understand. Christians are worried that Israel has war, and then they're worried when Israel has peace. Please make up your mind. Peace is not a bad word. You don't want your children to go to a war. You do not want to fight in a war. Listen, I send my son to the military. I just sent my daughter to the military. She's in the submarines in Israel. We are not gladly sending them, hey, go and fight and shoot and kill. And no. You know what Golda Meir said once? She said, our late prime minister, she said, we will always forgive the Arabs for killing us, but we will never forgive them for causing our children to kill them. Right. You see, the point is this. We are for peace, and they are for war. We want peace, and when peace comes, we're not against it. We want it. We don't want to send our children to die in the battlefield. If needed, they will, of course. But the point is this. Peace is required for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. Because in order for Israel to come to Ezekiel 38,
that's right,
strong, safe, secure, and prosperous, obviously it has to be peace. And in order for Sheba and Dedan to protest,
yes,
the invasion, obviously they have to be on your side. So I'm not sure, yes, where is it in the Bible that should cause you to wonder about this thing. And look, Trump is the best thing that happened to America in many, many years. But, wait. But I'm Israeli. He's the best thing that ever happened to Israel in the White House. And, Pastor Jack, people, they always go back to that deal with the Palestinians, and they say he's offering the Palestinian a state, therefore he's going to divide Israel, and judgment is coming. I would like you, if possible, to put on the screen the deal that he had with the Palestinians. And I want you to see something very interesting. I want you to see, first of all, applying Israeli law to West Bank settlements, U.S. recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's undivided capital, no settler or Palestinian will be uprooted. Palestinian capital, look what they said, will be at Abu Dis. I know Abu Dis. I served in the military. Abu Dis is not Jerusalem. It's east of Jerusalem. But to appease them, they labeled it as East Jerusalem. Okay? And then Israeli areas in western Negev. Watch now all the way down to the what is required from Israel and what is required from the Palestinians. This is why this is a work of a genius. Look what he did. He said, Israelis and Palestinians, we're working for two states, Palestinian state and Israeli state. For the Palestinians, you will have a state only if you will recognize Israel as a Jewish state. It'll never happen. You will give up demand for Palestinian capital in Jerusalem's old city. It'll never happen. You will demilitarize Gaza. It'll never happen. It's like saying to people in Southern California not to surf. disarming of Hamas. It can never happen. Giving up right of return. No Palestinian anywhere around the world is coming to Israel. And then halt to payment. All payment to terrorist families. Never happen. It can never happen. This is a list of a genius. He's basically telling them, everything you do, undo. Or else you'll never have a state. And guess what they said when they saw it? No?
What's the saying?
They
always say no. They say
yeah,
no
they
before
never
they
miss an opportunity to miss an opportunity. And they rejected the plan. It takes two for a tango, you know. So Trump is very smart. He said, take 4 years.
Think about it.
Yeah, think about it. However, while you think about it, all the rest of the Arab countries should already move forward to peace with Israel. So what we're seeing is Israel is winning while the Palestinians are getting nothing. So in a sense, Trump is not dividing Jerusalem. Trump is not dividing the land of Israel. Trump, if anything, is bringing peace. He's bringing opportunities, and is actually legalizing every Israeli who lives in Judea and Samaria, and if once and for all settles the whole thing, Jerusalem is not the Palestinian capital. It's an undivided capital of Israel. We're moving our embassy, and that's it.
Yep. Church, with what Amir just showed you and what's going on, and please listen, because if you're here tonight and you have what I'm just going to say as a premature grabbing onto, oh my goodness, this is the peace, this is the end of the world, the Antichrist, oh my gosh, this is horrible, you need to keep something in mind. That what you just saw on the screen, Amir said that's the work of a genius.
You can verify that.
That, I'm under a non-disclosure agreement, so there's certain things I can't say. I'll just say this. When it was crafted, the world looks at it and they love it. Thus, someone's being nominated for a peace prize. Wait, listen. What he said is so accurate, but please apply this to your life. Before it was ever made public, it was already known that it would fail. Did you hear what I said?
Genius.
Who would put together a plan that is doomed to fail? Those requirements, it's not the first time. Very similar requirements have been put forth. You said it a moment ago. The Palestinians have missed every opportunity to bring a better life to their people because they just miss every opportunity to do that. The requirements that were put up there, it's reasonable to everybody else. It's not reasonable to them. The deal will be thought about for 4 years. It is the concoction. It is the brainchild of a gathering of just a couple of people who they know the Middle East, they know history, and they also have a great understanding of the Bible. And this plan went forward with extreme wisdom. But Christians, prophetically predispositioned, panicked and said, Trump must be the Antichrist. It looks like we've got to get in line to get the mark or not pretty soon. You can't have Ezekiel 38 happen unless Israel believes that it's at peace. This is a movement toward the fulfillment of.
Yes.
This is not the start of the tribulation period. You need to know your Bible. I know you do. I'm just saying. You need to know your Bibles better on this. Because we look silly panicking like this.
Okay? Not only that. When you imply, when you hint that Donald Trump is an evil man. He's dividing the land of Israel. Because of him, all the judgment of God is coming upon America. What happened is on November 3rd, people, Christians, will not go to vote for him. And you know what happened? Look, all that Joe Biden wants is that Christians will not go to vote. That's it.
Yeah,
he doesn't need your vote for him. He needs you not to vote for Trump.
Does that offend somebody? Listen, we don't mean to. Listen, Joe Biden, hey, you know,
what do you mean? I'm here to offend them.
He's been.
If you are a Christian and you vote for Joe Biden, you have a serious problem with your understanding of the Bible. I can say that. Look, people all around the world are looking at America. You have to understand something. We cannot even think for a second, why would any American, look, I'm watching Joe Biden talking. This is the biggest fraud in the history of American politics. And every Democrat knows that he cannot be a president. Everybody knows that. They're hiding him in the basement. And then they take him out to say a few words. Immediately he slips and falls. And then bring him back to the, listen. That's not a material, not only for president, it's not a material for anything but sit and write your memoirs. And I can tell you, I feel sad for him. I honestly feel sad for him. Okay. I see him talking and I feel sad.
Listen, Joe Biden's not running for president. He's not. Listen.
It's a fraud.
This is a third term attempt. This is a third term attempt. If you think I'm making it up, you need to go to Instagram and you need to watch Joe Biden's Instagram page and watch how him and Barack Obama are telling you how they're going to change the world for the better after November. This is not Joe Biden's presidency we're talking about here. Listen, the issue of this voting thing is the fact that if you can be discouraged to not go vote, as Amir just said, if you don't vote, you're giving the vote to Biden. How can you say you're a Christian and support a party or a man who is for the killing of a baby at its birth? Answer me that. Someone's got to answer me that. You're going to look at God in the face and you're going to tell God, I voted for Joe Biden because he believes in murdering babies in the womb, defenseless, and even at the time of birth, and I voted for him. God, that's what I did with my influence in America. I voted to kill a baby. What do you think about that, God? And God's going to refer you to his word. Okay, so don't tell me ever that you're a Christian and you're voting for any Democrat who believes in the killing of a child. Let alone, can you find any presidential campaign speech by Harris or Biden that is condemning the looters and the rioters and the protesters?
And the killing of policemen?
You can't, not a word. You can't find it. What is going on? And people are telling us, Portland and Seattle, they're telling us, if you want in America what's happening to us, then vote for Joe Biden. That's what they're saying in Portland and in Seattle. This is a critical situation because the destabilization of the United States, I find it interesting. Some looters and rioters in Antifa were arrested very, very few hours ago. They're from Pakistan, and they are of the Muslim Brotherhood in Antifa. Why? Because the narrative plays into the destabilization of America.
Yeah.
And we've got a very serious situation. This is not a political game coming into November. This is the battle for literally the existence of America and her soul.
Yeah.
And you need to know that.
And I think you also need to understand that on the table is capitalism and socialism. And socialism always gets to power in semi-democratic way and will never, ever allow anyone to take its place until there's a bloodshed. In other words, they will go to the White House and they will not let it go. That's it. They'll hold on to it. I've seen that all around the world. And you're seeing that still in North Korea. You're seeing that still in Venezuela. I mean, come on. You know what
Cuba?
I'm talking about.
Yeah, you know
so,
it.
So you cannot, you must. Yeah, yes. And so yeah. What?
That's something we don't listen to enough. What's wrong with us? You know the immigrants that you work with and that live in your neighborhood? You should talk to them. You should talk to people from Romania. Right? You should talk to people from Russia who now live here, from the former Soviet Union. You should talk to people that have gotten here from Colombia.
El Salvador.
Listen, Americans, native-born Americans, we're almost, this is going to sound harsh. We're almost not qualified, in my opinion, to vote, native-born Americans, because we don't know what we're talking about. It's the people who had to almost bleed to get here who, listen, I have friends who came at the end of the Vietnam War, and some of them came with their little babies. And these Vietnamese families, they will die for America. And we've got people who are born and raised here, and they don't even know what America is. It's a tragedy. Liberty is lost when you don't know how to keep it.
And everybody around the world, people see that, and they cannot understand how can America vote to cancel America. This is like it's like self-destruction. And so I trust that it's not going to happen on November 3rd. And I actually, look, even if Trump is winning, there's going to be violence. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But that, let's talk about
that. Let's talk about this. Everybody, take a deep breath. Don't breathe on anybody. Okay? I thought of that halfway through the statement. So here's the thing. Are you ready for this? Here's a little dose of reality. Those of you who are in law enforcement, those of you who are in the National Guard, okay, here's the deal. The election, if Trump wins the election, there's going to be big violence for a short period of time. Trust me. It will be for a very
law and order.
Short period of time. If Biden wins, there's going to be violence, and it will not stop. And know this, that if Hillary Clinton has any opportunity to advise, which she will, her view of Christianity and what it should have the ability to do would shock you. You will be shocked if that happens. So it's a very critical situation.
And you have to register and vote. Anyone who's watching it right now around America, I don't know, you don't even have the luxury of not doing that. This is to be or not to be for America. And by the way, it's not only your problem, it's my problem also. Anyone who sits in the White House affects my area as well. I want to know that Trump stays in the White House for 4 more years. It is my interest as an Israeli. And by the way, the Saudis are probably next to sign peace with Israel. And you know why? Because they just heard Biden yesterday saying that he believes that if he is going to be elected, the Iran deal should be back in effect. The Saudis immediately picked up the phone and said,
"Yep,
can you arrange another ceremony soon before your election?" And the head of the Israeli Mossad, just upon landing in Israel, said, "Probably Saudi is next," as well as President Trump. You know, he did hint that 2 days ago. Guys, and it's not because they are in love with Israel. No. But they understand that the geopolitical changes in the Middle East are such that they better off be on our side, or else something else is going to happen. They dread the minute Democrats will take over the White House. And so that's what I'm trying to tell you. Guys, yes, it is for America, but the whole world is going to be affected. And therefore, whoever sits in the White House is the business also of many other countries. And that's why I'm so passionate about it.
It's amazing to think, too, you mentioned that, and it should terrify you when you know that Gavin Newsom has presidential ambitions. No, what do you... Hey, excuse me, calm down. Who's the vice president candidate for Biden right now? The former attorney, DA for San Francisco. The former attorney general of the state of California. Do you know that? Ask yourself, what did she do for California? Listen, Newsom wants to become president someday. You see, why are you bringing this up? Look around at California. Look around at San Francisco, the city where he was mayor. Look what's happening to us. That cannot happen. So listen, church, moving on with this. The situation with what's transpiring in the world right now, where we have a global situation, first time in human history, first time in church history, where the Christian church is universally closed in the world. Mm. At the hour that she's needed the most in modern history. Yeah. This is not, listen, people want to make it a medical or a political situation. Listen, Satan's a genius. Yeah. Hello? Yeah. He's playing this perfectly.
I must tell you that I really struggle coming here. And let me explain before you kill me. I've been watching since May 31st what's going on here. And nothing made sense to me. Because I come from a part of the world where we don't have the First Amendment. And all churches, all synagogues, all everything is closed in Israel for the last 6 months. And for us, they've been telling us that sitting like that without mask is killing you, basically. This is a recipe for death. And I asked him how many body bags he already dealt with. And so here we are being brainwashed, completely brainwashed. And I think most of the world is in the understanding that this is impossible. Okay? So, and then I also struggled with, wait a minute, is that even legal? Forget about, wait a minute. Is that even legal? Forget about the health issue, which I was concerned about. I thought, is my best friend a criminal?
Depends on who you ask.
Yes. So I got a lesson today on the First Amendment. First of all, I'm not American, so I never read it. I don't care about it. But I read it today because...
in fact, I was trying to explain it to him. And then I said, you know, just read it.
Just read
it.
Here,
read it.
I read it.
He read
it,
and he went...
Okay, I get it.
The whole world should have this.
I told him, why don't you say anything about it? Because the First Amendment is not leaving any loophole for any situation that might cause the government to shut churches down. Nothing.
Amen.
Not a virus. Listen, because today they say virus, tomorrow they're going to say, oh, there's a Antifa march in the streets, so we want you to be closed. The next day they're going to say, it's going to be too hot outside, we want you to be closed. And before you know it, they will decide for you when church is going on and not. And so First Amendment is not even it's not even something you can interpret else any other way than that's it. It's your right, and you cannot be, it cannot be taken from you.
Cannot be taken away.
Wait a minute. But then I asked him before, what about COVID? How many people have you killed already? And we talked about it, and I kind of realized that the mask that I'm walking with and wearing everywhere has a wonderful way to protect me from everything but COVID.
No, he's not joking.
Well, tell them why.
He's not joking.
You just
this
touched my mask. You know that.
Now, that actually, that is a problem, for real, for this reason. This can stop particulates 1.25, at best, 1.25 microns in size. In other words, if something's 1.20, okay, it's going to get in. You can't stop it. It's going to go through here. COVID is 0.003 microns in size. Viruses are that small.
So you need few masks.
That's why if you look today, for example, if you look today at guys who are painting a house, do they use these?
No.
They're wearing filtered masks.
Yes.
If you look at people that are handling acids and solvents, completely, they're not using these. Okay, why? Because that stuff is dangerous. I don't know why. I don't understand it. This mask, even on the box, warns you what it can and cannot do. You cannot stop a virus with this. That's why when you look at CDC, when they're handling viruses, they don't wear these. They wear compression air suits with masks and filtered air. They're breathing a separate air source completely. Why? Because if you want to break it down in your mind, it's the equivalent of a BB going through a size of a chain link fence. COVID just goes right through. Okay? But we don't say that to people because just like a captain on a Delta Airline flight that I was on, he said, hey, Pastor Jack, we started talking. And I said, what's with the shoes? Why is it that some people have to take their shoes off, but I have a TSA, what's the thing, global entry? And I just walk on the plane. I keep my shoes on. I don't have to take them off. And he said, oh, that's just the shoes. That's nothing. There's no safety in the shoes, but it makes you feel safe. Did you know that? This makes you feel safe.
I'm not taking off my shoes tomorrow. That's for sure.
Look, but look, if you're sick, if you have a cold or something and you wear a mask, that's great. If you're sick, wear a mask.
If you're sick, don't come to church.
Well, this is true. This is true. So, but you just need to know that. Some people don't like that much reality because they don't like that. That scares me. If the mask worked, then why can't we go to the store? If the mask worked, why can't we go everywhere and do everything? If the mask worked. And if the mask works and you have it on and I don't, and you and I are the only ones standing there, then what's the problem? No, you can't do that. It is a placebo for us. Mm.
So I received a lesson on First Amendment, and that covered the legal side. Then I received a lesson on masks and COVID, and I realized, well, anyway, mask won't help. So I'm comfortable right now. But I think all over the world, people look at you, and I'll be honest with you.
Oh, no, I get the mail.
Good. So they look at also at you, not only at him. And they think you are meshugas, crazy. And I want to tell you something, folks.
It breaks my heart, though, that something so frail has devastated the church. It goes to show you that our love for one another, the world cannot understand. We love and care for each other more than the world can ever comprehend. And the amazing thing we also talked about, I know we're spending too much time on this, but I recently asked someone this question. I think, are we not, what's the number? Listen, what's the number of COVID deaths by tonight? What, is it 200,000? Huh?
190,000.
No, wait, you're jumping the game. What's the number?
Okay, close to 200,000.
Let's say 200.
Let's say 200,000.
Let's give Fauci the number he wants. 200,000 dead. That's what you're... Listen, I just heard on KFI News yesterday that this is the worst pandemic that's ever happened in our world. And I said to that person, he couldn't hear me, what is wrong with you? Have you ever read about the... 1918, Spanish flu. So out of the 200 that are dead,
200,000.
200,000 that are dead, it's labeled as COVID. COVID dead. You hear it all day long. Can I ask you this question, doctor, nurse? How many people then since January have died of bronchial infections or flus? Listen, ask your doctors. How many? 200,000? Okay, I got that. How many people have died of the flus, bronchial infections, lung issues? How many? Ask them. You know what they say? Well, that's in the 200,000 number. Oh, so there's people who died, not of COVID, but they're thrown into that number? Even Dr. Bricks said... Yes, it is true. When it's all over, we will back those numbers out. Well, the CDC recently backed the numbers out. Ladies and gentlemen, are you sitting down? The Center for Disease and Control in Atlanta said, we've backed out the numbers. We're looking at about 10,000 American dead. I'm not making it up. That's the science from the scientists at the CDC. What's going on? What's happening? I'll tell you what's happening. I have been pleading with churches to open up because we need every church that teaches the Bible open. We pleaded, we begged, like Jesus said, we sang, you did not sing with us. We played the flute and you did not dance. Remember this, Jesus said, I've called out to you and you didn't come. We've pleaded with churches to open up because we knew what Newsom had in store. His plan was to wait this out long enough until the next flu season started. And then the church will be shut down at the earliest, maybe June, July, or August of 2021. That's the plan. You know how many churches will never again open in California? You, churches, listen, we must be safe, we must be smart, we must wash our hands, we must stay home when we're sick, we must do what our mom told us to do a long time ago. We need to do that. But listen, we are not essential or non-essential. We are the church of the living God. How are people going to get born again? How are people going to get healed? How are people going to be loved on? How do we bury people? How do we marry people? How do we engage in marriage counseling? How do we prevent a 15-year-old from putting a bullet in his head? And how do we... I was with a mom talking to an 8-year-old child last week because that kid is so depressed, tried to run away from home, searching for her classmates.
Yeah.
That's what we're dealing with. While the politicians do the politicking, and while so many lie to us, there's a handful of scientists that are saying, we need to get back to work. We need to go now, because herd immunity is the greatest resistance that we can have regarding this Chinese. It's an act. Well, we'll talk about that later.
Let's talk about it.
Okay.
But before we do...
I can't get in trouble.
I want to ask you a question. Okay? I really want to ask you a question. So I understand, as an Israeli, that Americans have the First Amendment, which is wonderful. And it's not illegal for you to meet. But in most of the countries around the world, they don't have First Amendment. And not meeting is actually a law. So you break the law when you meet in a church. That's why churches are all closed. So what is your... I mean, I know what you're going to say, but... let's talk to them. What's your advice to churches around the world that do not have the First Amendment, and they cannot open the gate of the church and congregate?
Can I even preempt that question by addressing the churches of the world who do meet where it's illegal? Listen. Yes, we'll get to your question.
No. I know exactly where
you're going. Let's start where we should start. Are you going to tell me that you, an American Christian, you're going to scold a Iranian Christian who's meeting in a fellowship and singing songs and quietly to Jesus with a group? Because you could be beheaded because it's illegal for you to meet.
And they change
in Iran.
Locations every Sunday.
They have to change locations, and they tear pieces out of the Bible and they memorize it. And each of them memorize that during the week, and they come back, and they trade pages. Are you going to condescend on them and say, you should obey the law? Your government says Islam rules, no Christianity, you should stay home and not meet, even if you're a Christian. Really? You're going to tell that to 2,000 years of Christians who've had to live just like this? Really? So the answer is this: you meet. You meet by however you can. Listen, there are Christians today that go to remote areas. Some meet outside, far away from everything. Those in parts of Africa, North Africa, have to do that. Yeah. What about the Christians in North Korea? They will be hung upside down and tortured if they get caught going to church because it's illegal. Then why in the Bible does it say in Acts chapter 4 and 5 that there comes a point in time when it's better for us to obey God rather than man? Look, don't get me wrong. If this was the Spanish flu, or if this was SARS or something that is absolutely obvious, we'd take a different approach. We'd be out at Ayala Park, and I'd be speaking to you out in the open air with a bullhorn to make sure that you guys are all safe. But you tell me this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, never forsake the assembling together of the church. Explain that one to me. Look, that's the Christian's First Amendment. I don't need the First Amendment. I'm glad I have it. It's a luxury. What trumps the First Amendment is Hebrews 10:25.
Mm. Notice it's Hebrews. So that's it. So why don't we now move to what's going on with fires all around California. And the reason why I'm saying that is this. Listen to this, folks. The same people, unfortunately I'm saying that, the same people that say that Trump is dividing the land of Israel with the peace plan with the Palestinians that has never been accepted by the Palestinians, they claim that everything that is happening right now in America is a judgment of God upon America. Listen to this. A judgment of God upon America because of what Trump is doing to Israel. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm the Israeli. We love him. I need to tell you something. We don't even know how to thank President Trump, because every time we think, okay, he can't do more than this, he surprises us. It's even getting better and better and better. There has never been a friendlier president to Israel in the Oval Office than President Trump. And to say to an Israeli, because of what he's doing to you, America is being punished, is like, you got to be out of your mind. He needs to get a Nobel Peace Prize, and he needs 4 more years for what he has done to us. He is not dividing Jerusalem. He kept Jerusalem in our hands. He is not giving them Palestinian state, because everything he told them they must do, they will never do. He is bringing all the countries around us that were funding anti-Israeli activities for years now to our side. And you want to tell me that the fires in on the West Coast, it's because of that? Well, let me tell you something. They always say that during the fire season. And they always say that during the hurricane season. Do you know what a judgment of God is? When it's not the hurricane season and the hurricane comes. When there is no fire season, and then, look, in the middle of January, California's burning. That's something that I may then consider. But listen, half of those fires are arsons. And by who? By the lawless people, the lawlessness. Antifa, BLM, and you don't want me to go there.
You guys, again, this is why we're doing Happening Nows. When God judges, you're going to know it. Amen. And you won't have to guess. Okay, let's be honest. I hope you saw. I don't know. You know what? If you watch conventional news, then it's hopeless. I mean, it's a story. Do you know, this week, the president flew out here to tell our governor, will you please start? He said, I talked to Finland. I talked to Norway. They don't have forest fires. They don't have them. So Trump told Newsom, you need to adopt the European model of forest management. Do you know why we're burning down? It's not the judgment of God. It's the stupidity of man. Do you know why? We have in California, there's 150. Who counted these? Supposedly they did it by a satellite algorithm program. There's 150 million dead trees in the state of California that are not allowed to be touched, because environmentalists have had laws passed that do not allow those trees to be removed from the forest floor. And there is an estimated 4 feet of fuel that have been there for decades. And to adopt the European model where they don't have forest fires is to go in and to remove all of that kindling out, and the forest recovers beautifully, and you dramatically reduce, by the way, the California Indians and the Oregonians and the Washingtonians, those Indians native to those regions, they maintain their forest floors. But we have people who come along and say, I'm an environmentalist and we need to have this passed. And we wonder why trees are dying, bark beetles are destroying our forest, because we do not allow things to be managed right. And I'll end with this. It's amazing to me. If you're an evolutionist, then I get your environmentalism. If you're an evolutionist, I get your environmentalism. But if you are a believer in God, then I don't understand this. Why? Because God told us to take care of this earth he gave us. We're supposed to take care of our forest. The believer in God should be the best steward of God's creation. Listen, do you have a garden at home? Do you ever weed it? How dare you? Right? Think about it. Do you mow your lawn? How could you?
How dare you use a deodorant?
We're supposed to take care of our forests so they don't burn to the ground. Thank God you don't take care of your house like that. Yeah. Right? Think about it. God said, go and have dominion over all of this. Take care of it and be a steward of it. So, what's next?
Yeah,
what do you want to talk about? George Soros is not worth talking about.
We will say, though, that... what was I talking about? Okay. So, when it comes to the virus, I believe that this is the most successful attempt of the globalists.
Absolutely.
To take control of this planet.
Absolutely.
Never before in the history of planet Earth, the entire world, the whole planet, is dancing to the music of one world organization, which is, in this case, the World Health Organization, which, by the way, is controlled by the UN and is funded by, exactly, the globalists. And you need to understand, folks, I don't believe, by the way, that the vaccine is the mark of the beast. Because we're not supposed to be here.
Let's talk about that, please.
I don't believe, now. For the mark of the beast, you need to have the beast.
Yes.
Hello? Okay?
And you guys,
please. Donald Trump is not the beast. So, but I was thinking to myself, every morning I go to the gym and they want to measure your temperature. Now, how do they do that? Hand or forehead?
Wrong hand.
Forehead and hand.
Other hand.
Yes, and I'm thinking to myself, we are being conditioned. Listen, wait. We are being conditioned to give our hands or forehead to be scanned. Wait. So we're gone, because we're not supposed to be here. Hello? We will be gone, but the whole world will, the rest of the world, will be so used to hand their hand or forehead for whatever they need. We're being conditioned right now. It's crazy. So I do see how, for the first time, look, you've got the most anti-globalist president ever in the White House right now. And by the way, he's saying that from the floor of the United Nations. He said that to the most globalist organization on planet Earth, that America is not promoting globalism. He said that unashamedly. However, the whole world is already being conditioned.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to tell you, you take this, take what's going on in the Middle East, put them together, and that's the convergence that we're talking about, that we're trying to bring to the attention of the world so you understand how close we are to the rapture of the
church. Let me add to what he just put together. And I'm glad you just said what you just said about closeness. Are we close? We've never been closer. That's for sure. Are we seeing biblical events possibly forming? Well, you'd have to be blind. Please, I framed that carefully. Don't say, are we seeing biblical prophecies fulfilled? We are not. We are seeing the alignment of biblical, the alignment for the stage of prophecy to be fulfilled. It's moving. If anything, it's the birth pains. We're moving toward that, okay? So watch this. Take what Amir just talked about, the conditioning of the mask and the hands and the and all of that with the vaccination attempt, coupled with how bad we need to stop human trafficking, especially sex trafficking. It is so epidemic that I don't know if we realize how epidemic this situation is. It is so prevalent everywhere. into 2021, we're going to host a course here on how to identify people who are being trafficked because they're in our own communities, we're being told, on how to identify a child who's with an adult and they are on the move. FBI will teach this course. There will be others that are teaching this course. Listen to this, you guys. Human trafficking is a scourge upon the face of the earth. Okay? But it's an unknown in the amounts of multiple digits of billions of dollar industry. Okay? The way to stop human trafficking and any other trafficking, drugs, you name it, is to abolish cash. If you dry up the money, they can't do it. So the next thing is, look, is there a shortage of coins?
Yes.
There's just the amount of many coins that's always been around. Where'd they go all of a sudden? Dollar, many. We don't touch money. Do you have a credit card? We don't have to touch money. They touch my credit card, but they won't touch my dollar. Isn't that weird? What is that? Conditioning. We need to go cashless. And that's going to happen. It may happen very, very soon. When it does, don't say, oh my goodness, it's the mark of the beast. It's a big step in that direction. Look, I'm old enough to remember when Diners Club came out with a credit card. And
don't tell them
they thought it was the end of the world.
That's,
so yeah. One thing upon another doesn't give us the reason to panic and to start saying there's a demon behind that doorknob, that guy's the Antichrist. Oh, no, that guy's the Antichrist.
Yeah.
Or this situation is because God is judging. Listen, are blessings possibly being withheld from this nation because of disobedience?
Yes.
Blessings are being held from us as humans, as believers even, from disobedience. We shouldn't disobey God. But judgment, to say it's judgment. I read my Bible, and judgment is something you won't have to guess.
Right.
It'll be obvious.
Yeah.
It's huge.
And so this is why it's so important that we make it clear that Donald Trump is not the Antichrist. A vaccine, if it released in 2 weeks, is not the mark of the beast.
It's a bad idea, but
whatever it is, it's not the mark of the beast. And you are not going to see the Antichrist unless you have been left behind. So if you see him, all right. But I also wanted to say that there is another thing that is happening right now around the world, and that is, what was it that we talked about?
If you'll tell me, I'll remember.
Okay. Now, while you were talking, I. No, I mean, I was...
like Nebuchadnezzar, if you just tell me what it was.
No. But honestly, I mean, you look at what is going on in the Middle East, and you understand that, I mean, we are so close. So close. Now, okay, now I remember. Watch this. We have an issue with Russia, Turkey, and Iran, and you all know that. But you all know that the real reason why Russia came all the way down to Syria is energy, is oil and gas. You all know that what Erdogan is doing right now in the Mediterranean is desperately trying to find gas. By the way, he can't find it. And then he goes and says, I found gas in the Black Sea that will be enough for me for 30 years. And yet what? He is fighting with every country around to drill in the Mediterranean because he found nothing in the Black Sea, of course. But the point is, energy is becoming now the big thing. And the Russians are furious that America stopped their gas pipelines into Europe. America is encouraging Israel to have a gas pipe known as the East Mediterranean pipe from Israel to Cyprus to Greece to Italy into Western Europe. And we are watching right now an energy war going on the waters of the Mediterranean. We've never had so many vessels, I'm talking about warships and carriers And submarines. Never ever since World War II there were that many at the present time, like in the present time right now. And I'm talking about the Russians think we don't know, but there's tons of Russian submarines around us. There are Turkish submarines. There are French submarines. Persian. I'm not going to tell you about ours, but I can tell you one thing, guys.
Israel doesn't have any.
We don't have any. Yeah. No, no, no. So I don't lie. We don't have any that you should know of. Okay. But I do want to tell you something. Why is it so important? Because what is the sense, what is the essence of Ezekiel 38 war? What is it that they accuse Russia, Iran, Turkey, Libya, and Sudan?
To come after the spoils.
Come to take
the
spoils.
Goods.
Yes, it's not to come and take land. It's not to come and change the religion. It's not to
it's not
a
even
political
war.
Cause. It's all yeah. about that. It's gas and oil. Israel found trillions of cubic feet of natural gas.
Is that Leviathan?
Leviathan and Karish and Tamar. We have several fields. And listen, it drives the Turks and the Russians and the Iranians nuts.
I don't know why people don't talk about this more, but did you know that Israel is the superpower of the region?
Well, I'm humble. I don't want to... But no.
So, you mentioned...
I'm so humble that I'm saying that I'm humble. But
he mentions this pipeline.
Yes.
The Russians are trying to... In fact, they signed a deal with Germany, with Angela Merkel.
Mm-hmm.
And
she heard. She heard from Trump.
That pipeline is 93% complete. And it's a pipeline where Vladimir Putin, this is his passion, and it's to sell. Russia needs cash badly. They need to sell desperately their economy. Russia's economy is so precarious. You guys, we've talked about this before. It's so difficult to get oil out of Russia. The oil is so deep. It's not high quality. And it costs them so much money to get one barrel of oil versus America or Saudi Arabia, where you can stick a straw in the ground, or we can frack, or we can drill. Russia can't do that. It costs them so much money to get 1 gallon or a barrel, okay? So they have to use other means as well. So natural gas, they signed a deal with Germany, and in that deal, it was secret to the rest of the Europeans, and it was found out. And Europe now is very angry at Germany. But here's the deal. The pipeline has been stopped. Listen, when you talk about a pipeline, it doesn't matter if it's 1% complete.
Or 99%.
Or 99% complete.
1% is...
You need all percents to turn on the switch. It can't go anywhere. Guess what happened? There's a senator in the United States that heard about it through intelligence. He sits on the intelligence committee. Started looking into it. Found out that it was going to take not only money away from Israel and the United States regarding natural gas to Europe, but Vladimir Putin is famous for getting you hooked on his gas and then turning it off when you don't do what he wants.
He did that to the Ukraine.
Been found out. And so a U.S. senator exposed this and went through Herculean achievements both nationally, to get the Republicans and the Democrats to agree this must be stopped. And he did it. And then he went to the European Union and turned Europe against Germany on this issue to show how Germany had this protectionist type of view regarding this gas. And you need to pray for the senator, because he is now the most hated guy on Vladimir Putin's list. It's an estimated, this senator who stopped this national, international security issue, tampered with an estimated $60 billion project that Vladimir...
And he was personally invested in Putin.
Look, CIA says Vladimir Putin is the richest man on earth.
Yes. Yeah.
And he's richer than Jeff Bezos, who's the richest man in the world. Wow. Vladimir Putin. Yeah. I didn't say it's legal, and I didn't say that he got it fairly. Here's the deal. That senator you pray for him, because this is happening right now, is Ted Cruz. You need to pray for his safety.
Yeah.
And he is on the hit list. Yeah.
And the funny thing is, President Trump picks up the phone.
Yep.
And he calls Angela Merkel and he says, Angela, are you a member of NATO?
She says, she forgot.
Selbstverständlich. And then he says to her, wait a minute, isn't NATO against Russia? So how can you be a member of NATO and collaborate with Russia? We pay NATO. We pay most of the money. America. Not we.
I mean, we. Who are you talking about?
No. You. Hey, no. I'm talking as if I'm Trump right now. Okay? So I'm telling you what he said, okay? I know it's you. Don't worry. But the thing is this. America is funding NATO, and Germany is doing business under the table with Russia. So he told them to their face, and they hate him. Either you're out of NATO, or you stop this thing. And she had to stop this thing.
And the company that...
And then he said to the Europeans, don't worry, you'll have gas. Israel found gas. We're going to help them to get
cheaper.
That gas.
Nice. And way cheaper.
Way cheaper. They're going to take the gas out and through Cyprus and Greece to Italy into Western Europe. And this is when the Turkish Sultan decided, I don't like this idea. And look what he did. He signed a deal with the Libyan... Look, I'm throwing Libya now into this thing.
Libya.
And Libya...
Ezekiel 38.
Yes, that is put in Ezekiel 38. And he says to Libya... Libya, by the way, is divided. He has two governments. So he signed with one government a deal regarding the territory of the other government. And he basically says, Libya and Turkey share a strip of territorial water. And basically, they block the path of that gas pipe. Mm. So the Greek prime minister says, wait a minute, who said it's yours? I'm now signing a peace or a deal, excuse me, with Egypt. Now, Libya is here, Egypt is here. Greece is here, Turkey is here. So these guys signed with these. These guys signed with these.
And when you get
Look,
these?
We have now a conflict. And you don't hear about it in the news. But there is a silent, I don't want to say gas war, because it sounds, you know, energy war in the Middle East, in the Mediterranean right now. There is a silent energy war in the Mediterranean, and it plays into Bible prophecy. Because
absolutely.
Look, everything that this war is all about will come to fruition and will eventually explode in the invasion to Israel in Ezekiel 38.
Don't misunderstand what we're saying. God is on the move. There are more Muslims, we're hearing it all the time, more Muslims coming to faith in Jesus than any other known time in history. God's on the move.
Yeah.
Throughout the Western world, God is purging the church. He's shaking that everything that can be shaken is being shaken. And only that which can remain shall remain. He's separating the wheat from the chaff. That's what's going on. And in other parts of the world, he's moving. You look at what's happening in China. Listen, as far as I can tell, somebody might say, well, those are the kings of the East. We don't know if that includes China or not. We know that America is not in Bible prophecy. I don't see China in Bible prophecy. Something's going to happen in the world. Keep your eye on that.
Mm-hmm.
We see things that are going on. We don't panic. We say, wow, you know what? Things are moving toward God's fulfillment. I think you're going to see a lot of things getting closer as time goes on. But, and this is one reporter's opinion. This is my opinion. I'm probably wrong. This is where I'm at right now. With all that we're watching in the world, we keep our eyes open and keen on Scripture. We don't panic. We don't make stuff up. Because when you start doing that, then you lose credibility because you think that guy's the Antichrist or this is that, and then it blows away and it's over and you look like a bozo. And you should. Things are so amazing to me personally. in this world. So biblically close that if Jesus doesn't come back soon for the church, how's it going to be a surprise? Right? Think about it. It's like so obvious. Well, look, Soviet Union is not the Soviet Union. It had to become Russia. We didn't know that because we didn't take the Bible so literally. Ezekiel 38 didn't talk about Soviet Union. It talked about Russia. Libya. Look at Libya. The neighbors around Israel, Ezekiel names them by nationality names. They're all Muslim nations.
Yeah.
They all agree they want Israel wiped off the face of the earth. Do you think that's a coincidence? This globalism attempt. The virus, the way it's spun and used.
Yeah. Can I add one more thing?
No, I'm on a roll
Please.
Here.
No, President Trump said 2 days ago in the Oval Office, once I'm elected as president, I'm sure Iran is going to have a good deal with us. No, he didn't say that for nothing. He's a very smart man. He's smarter than you even imagine.
Right.
He put them on the spot right now because what he said is this. A, I'm going to be elected. B, you better get your act together. Now, why, when I heard that, I said, unbelievable. What he just said is unbelievable. Why? Because the Iranians are now having two options. To admit they were wrong for the last 40 years, and to now comply with the United States on peace with Israel, not destruction of Israel, which is against their DNA. I'm not talking about the Iranian people. I'm talking about the Ayatollahs. The Iranian people wants peace with Israel.
That's right.
Make no mistake. They love and support Israel, but that's how it goes.
And the younger they are, the more they support Israel, the younger generation in Iran.
And so what I'm trying to say is that now Iran understand it's with the back to the wall. They must either comply or go all the way. And my Bible says that they're going to go all the way. But so far, nobody put them on that spot. Nobody said, you will have to have a deal with me or else it's not. I mean, so far, American presidents try to appease Iran. President Trump says, no, you are going to agree to a better deal that I'm going to give you. And better deal? Better deal is you do what I tell you. That's the better deal.
It's amazing. You know, you just made me think, I'm interrupting you.
I notice.
You know, it's amazing. There are certain members of the administration that are born-again Bible believers, and they have Bibles on their desk, and they read them, and they can quote them. And there's a whole group of people that are furious because they're terrified that, and they've said so, the Bible is influencing that person's decision-making. Did you know that? One guy is in big trouble for this because he has a Bible on his desk. And the media is saying, we want you out because you have a Bible on your desk and we think you might make decisions based on the Bible. I'm dead serious. Versus Keith Ellison of Minnesota, Omar, Tlaib, others, who are not only proud Muslims,
they take their decision based on
but
Quran.
They have said the Constitution's great. Sharia is greater. They are sworn to the Constitution oath. They occupy public office in the United States. And they're completely devoted to making their decision process based upon the Quran.
Right.
Did you know that?
Yes.
It's okay for that.
Right.
But it's not okay for members of this cabinet to look and say, from Ezekiel, we know how to make decisions regarding Persia, Iran, because we know the direction that they're going to be going. They're going to be going in a direction, according to the Bible, that is going to devastate the Middle East because they're going to war against Israel. And everybody freaks out. But Islam says, death to Israel, death to America. We're going to destroy Israel and push it into the sea and erase its name from off the face of the earth. And nobody makes a peep. Because that is Iran's theology. You mentioned the Ayatollahs, not the Persian people. They're making their decisions off a death cult mentality. Yeah. Isn't it interesting that we're talking about events that are rooted in spiritual issues and spiritual convictions?
Yeah.
You can't escape it. Because you and I live in a world that is far more active than the physical world that you and I live in. Jesus said, and I want all of you to hear this as we wrap this up. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Now remember who Nicodemus is. He's the teacher of Israel. He's the Jew. He's the rabbi. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water," into this world first, "and of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh," referring to the water. We all came into this world through our mom. "But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I told you, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to Jesus, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and you do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify to what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man, who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned."
Who is not?
"But he who
is condemned already.
Is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is their condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who practices evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be exposed or clearly seen that they have been done in God."
Mm.
And that's the issue tonight.
Yes.
It is so amazing, friends, that we can stand and we can talk about global and world events with such certainty. God's word will never fail. But the most wonderful prophecy doctrine of all is the doctrine of salvation that came to us in Genesis 3. When God announces that the salvation of mankind would come by the birthing of a child into this world, God told through Eve that she would someday, strange talk, that in her, from her, would the seed would come. That's an amazing statement, because that seed normally comes from man, not the woman. It's a divine statement. Jesus Christ is the Messiah of the world. The scriptures declare it so throughout the entire Old Testament. And the Hebrew prophets. The question today is not Daniel's 10 toes prophecy and trying to decipher what's the next move in Damascus or what's going to happen in Syria and what's going to happen to Turkey. We watch that with certainty because the word speaks about it, the most important thing of all. What should it profit you if you can discern all of the prophetic scriptures and miss the greatest prophecy of all? is that you can experience salvation through Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for your sins, according to the Scriptures. He rose again from the grave, according to the Scriptures. That's the Old Testament. And the Bible tells us that in His place, He's the sacrificial lamb. He's the Passover for us. He took our sins upon Him. All of Israel's existence with the Passover lamb from the Exodus of Egypt was a picture, was an announcement that someday God will not accept an animal's blood to cover sin. He will accept the blood of His own Son to take away sin. Today, tonight, you can experience a brand new life in Jesus Christ. That's what brings us here tonight or today, wherever you are in the world. And that's the foundation that we have. And the issue is, God loves you. You should love Him back.
Yes.
Because He alone is worthy. Whatever sins you've committed, no matter how gross they are, Jesus has got that covered. He said, the person who's forgiven the most, that person loves the most.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing? Yes. So don't write yourself off. Don't give up. Don't quit. And don't be in fear. The world is gripped with fear. And my Bible tells me that Satan traffics in fear. It's either faith in Christ, faith in God, faith in His Word, or as Charles Spurgeon said, fear is putting your faith in the devil. Think of it. We have been tortured. We have been humiliated. We have been disabled in our hearts and our minds because fear has captured the world. And it's just the beginning. Let me cheer you up. It's just the beginning. This is nothing compared to what's coming. Put your faith in Christ and experience the forgiveness of God and eternal life through Him. Father, we thank You. We pray, Lord, for Amir, God, as he heads off to the conference in Dallas. We pray, Father, for those that will be there. Lord, we pray that You give him safe traveling mercies. And Father, we pray also, Lord, I know. And I agree with them. The world looks at us. We've gotten letters all over from all over the planet and comments from all over the planet. How dare we? I must confess, we've gotten way more good mail than bad mail. But Lord, even those who say, how dare you? If it wasn't for You speaking so clearly to my heart and 1,200 other pastors in California about May 31st, I would be right with them. But You did speak to our hearts. You did speak to my heart. And Lord, who in this world has the authority to close Your doors? Jesus, You said, behold, I've set before You an open door that no man can shut. And You said that to the church at Philadelphia, a church that we hope to mimic and be like. Mm. So how dare we? We ask You to forgive us. We ask You, Lord God, through those here and those that are abroad viewing, lift fear from us. We confess it to You that we've been captivated by intimidation by the enemy. We have been easily swayed because the fear factor got us to believe things that weren't even true. Mm. And we do pray for those that are battling COVID. It's real. And it's very, very dangerous to those who have compromised immune systems or preconditioned issues. We pray for Your healing upon them. In fact, we pray right now, Lord, in Jesus' name, that there'll be those, Father, around this world that may not believe in You, but right now You hear our prayers, and we pray that You would even heal the unbeliever right now. That You'd heal them, and that they'd come to faith in You.
Yes.
That they would say, this God touched me.
Mm.
And Lord God, we pray that we would be ready to meet You even tonight if our sleep should be interrupted with a trumpet blast. How awesome would that be? And Lord, we give You, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, which we know is to pray for the coming of the Messiah. That's Your return. And we ask You, Lord, that in all of our lives, A, we would provoke the Jew to jealousy by our love for them and their God. And Father, that we would be a light and a lamp to a darkening world. Heal our land. Give us the gift of repentance that we would turn from our sins and cry out to You. Dear God in heaven, we love You and we commit ourselves to You now and to the man, woman, boy, or girl that they would say yes to Jesus Christ and choose to follow Him now. Mm. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.